الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم A Muslim's honor Excellence of Salat ala Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam Sheikh Majduddin Firozabadi Ali rahmatullahi al-Hadi has stated When you sit in a gathering and recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim wa sallallahu ala Muhammad Allah Azza wa Jalla will designate an angel that will keep you from backbiting. When you depart from that gathering and recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim wa sallallahu ala Muhammad, the angel will keep others from backbiting against you. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Expressions that express backbiting. On page 313 of Uyunul Hikayat, volume 2, the 413-page publication of Maktabatul Madina, the publishing department of Dawat-e-Islami, a saying of Sayyiduna Haris Muhasibi, Ali Rahmatullahi al-Qawi, is narrated, refrain from backbiting. It is such an evil that a person seeks it willingly. What do you think of an action that entices you to be disloyal to the one who has favored you and causes good deeds, earned by you to be given to those who you slandered until they are pleased because wealth will not come to your aid. Your religion will be taken away from you equal to the measure of the harm that you cause to a Muslim's reputation. Therefore refrain from backbiting, make yourself aware of it and recognize its different forms and how it entraps you. He further added, take this to heart. Indeed, some ignorant and naive individuals indulge in backbiting by manifesting their anger on the sins committed by others. They make false assumptions and are jealous of them. May Allah Azza wa Jalla grant his refuge. Satan further misleads these people into thinking that by manifesting their anger, they are actually protecting the faith. They make claims of showing anger by speaking ill and making derogatory remarks against another person, not for personal reasons, but for protecting the religion. The evil of such thought and action is not hidden from the wise. Even some learned people have been observed to make statements like, we are only doing this for their rectification, we are their well-wishers and only want the best for them. The fact of the matter is that if these people wanted the best for the others, they would not have indulged in such an evil action of backbiting. The thought of giving advice would not cause them to indulge in backbiting, i.e. they would have taken the adopted method that is permissible by Islamic law, which is to directly advise the one who has made a mistake and not to make a public display of others' faults. Embed this in your heart. At times, even seemingly religious and righteous individuals commit backbiting by saying expressions that are astonishing. As for teachers, leaders and officers, they at times indulge in backbiting by trying to show compassion for their subordinates and students with phrases like, I feel so sorry for that person that he commits such and such evil. I wish he wasn't involved in those things, i.e. drug addiction. In reality, these people are not feeling sorry for others, but are actually exposing their faults and shortcomings, disguised as compassion and well-wishing, and thus indulging in backbiting. Instead of saying such expressions, if they really want the best for the other person, they could directly approach them and make an effort to rectify their behavior. Some people have been observed making this point that they are only exposing the faults to another person so that the listener supplicates for him. They think that they are doing them a favor, but instead they are actually backbiting. May Allah Azza wa Jalla protect us from the deceit of Satan and protect us from speaking ill against other Muslims. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Of source, مرض بڑھتا ہی جاتا ہے گناہوں کا ہو نظر شفا عرض سرکار مدینہ ہے. Sadly, the disease of sins has grown O Prophet, please cast a sight of relief upon this helpless. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Tubu ila Allah. Astaghfirullah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Backbiting against a child. According to Islamic law, one is not allowed to backbite against children, just as it is impermissible to lie to them. One should not backbite against a child, even if the child is only a day old. Parents should be meticulous about this. Neither should they speak ill behind their child's back, nor speak bad in front of them. They should avoid phrases like "you are arrogant, mischievous, etc." When is it allowed to backbite against a child? Shaykh Allama Abdul Hay Lakhnami Ali Rahmatullah Al-Kawi writes in his book titled Ghibat Kya Hai? Shaykh Sayyiduna Ibn Abidin Shami Qudsirrahu Sami cites a saying of Imam Ibn Hajar Ali Rahmatullah Al-Akbar. It is haram to backbite against a child who has not reached puberty and an insane person, just as it is haram to backbite against an adult. Shaykh Abdul Hay Lakhnawi Ali Rahmatullah Al-Kawi further elaborates. Number 1. Backbiting of such a child who has not reached puberty, who has attained some level of maturity that he is pleased when praised and displeased when spoken ill of, is not allowed. The same rule applies for someone who is partly insane, as they can also distinguish between their praise and condemnation. Number 2. Backbiting of a child who has a lack of understanding or an insane person who cannot distinguish between their praise and condemnation is not permissible. This is because their parents, guardians or heirs would be hurt if they came to know about it. Number 3. Backbiting is permissible against a child or an insane person who cannot distinguish between their praise and condemnation and has no apparent heirs or guardians. However, it is best to refrain from doing so, because some jurists rule that it is haram to backbite against an insane person and even a child who is just a day old. 17 examples of backbiting against children. In short, we should refrain from committing backbiting, whether it is against someone sane or insane, an adult or an adolescent child, an old person or an infant. There could be several instances of backbiting against infants and young children, because people are normally unaware that doing so could lead to sins. Here, we present only 17 examples that can be categorized as backbiting. Number 1. He urinated on his bed. Number 2. He has grown but has not learned any manners yet. Number 3. He has become a habitual liar. Number 4. He scratched his younger sister. Number 5. When we take the young ones in our arms, the elder ones feel jealous. Number 6. Both of the young ones tell on each other. Number 7. The younger one is very intelligent, but our 8-year-old is not as bright in his studies. Number 8. He bothers his mother. Number 9. The infant screams at night. She does not sleep at night, nor does she let anyone else sleep. Number 10. My child threw the glass in anger. Number 11. He has become very grumpy. Number 12. He has become very sulky in behavior. Number 13. He argues at mealtimes every day. Number 14. He is not too bright in his studies. Number 15. My elder child pulled her sister's hair and brought her down to the floor. Number 16. He fights a lot. Number 17. We get tired of waking him up, but he still does not answer. Stop your children from backbiting. Normally, children are seen backbiting against their siblings and other people in their childish ways. Parents and elders at home encourage this behavior by their smiles and laughter. For example, if a child saw someone limping and imitates that person, The parents laugh and smile at their child's actions, thus encouraging him. This leads the children to think that their actions are appropriate, whereas in reality, their copying a specific handicapped person is considered as backbiting under Islamic law. When the father returns home from work at night, the children normally relay the events of their day. It is pleasing to hear their stories, but their storytelling normally comprises of many instances of tale-telling and backbiting against others. Children do not get their sins recorded in their deeds. However, it is the responsibility of the parents to raise them according to Islamic morals and manners. By listening to your children backbite, you are wrongly training them to backbite. Thus, the burden of improper upbringing falls upon the parents. When these children grow up, this sinful behavior will be deeply rooted in their minds. Therefore, whenever the child backbites against someone or lies to you, do not let Satan deceive you into smiling at them and encouraging their behavior. Be serious and discourage them for their actions. Inform them that backbiting is not a dignified act. When you continue with the same message over and over again, it will eventually embed itself into their hearts and minds, and they will, insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla, begin to hate against backbiting and become pious Muslims. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Seeking justice is not backbiting. Remember, if the child is telling you about his situation, not merely to relay his story, but to actually complain and wants it resolved, then you should listen to him, as this is not considered backbiting. If he does not tell his parents, then who will he complain to? For example, if he says that my sister has hidden my toy, the parent would then take the appropriate steps to get his toy back for him. Also remember, once the matter has been settled, if the child goes to his mother and tells her in the sister's absence that his sister had hidden his toy and her father scolded her and got the toy back for him, then this will be considered as backbiting, despite the fact that the sins of children are not recorded. Normally, children ask for justice from those people in the household they are comfortable with. Therefore, if someone is not in a position to solve the child's problem, then they should refrain from listening to their complaints and should politely divert their attention towards something else. 22 examples of backbiting committed by children. Number 1. He broke my toy. Number 2. She snatched my candy. Number 3. She caused my ice cream to fall on the ground. Number 4. He scared me by screaming in my ear from behind. Number 5. She threw a kitten on me. Number 6. He teases me by saying that I am a bad boy. Number 7. She tore my book. Number 8. He pushed me and I fell to the ground. Number 9. He spoiled my clothes. Number 10. He ran over my foot with his bicycle. Number 11. He ruins his clothes. Number 12. He is a mischievous boy. Number 13. He tells tales about me to my mother. Number 14. He lied to our teacher and tricked him into punishing me. Number 15. He cries when his mother asks him to go to the madrasa. Number 16. The child hits her mother. Number 17. The teacher disciplined him the other day. Number 18. He is old now, but he still sucks on a dummy. Number 19. He always has a runny nose. Number 20. He loses his pencil every day. Number 21. He stole money from his father's wallet. Number 22. The other day my mother grounded him. Do not make false promises to children. On page 159 of Bahar-e-Shariat, Volume 16, the 312-page publication of Maktabatul Madina, the publishing department of Dawat-e-Islami, is extracted from Sunan Abu Dawud and Al-Bayhaqi that Sayyidina Abdullah bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated. Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam had come to our home. My mother said to me, "Come, I will give you something." Hearing this, the most noble Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam asked her, "What do you intend to give?" She said that she had intended to give dates, upon which the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam said, "If you had not given anything, it would have been written down as a lie. Did you realize that it is impermissible to lie, even if it is to children?" Sadly, in the modern era, in order to comfort and calm children down, adults often make false promises which they do not keep, like "we will buy you a toy" or "we will buy you a toy plane", etc. Similarly, in order to put fear into the hearts of children, parents often lie, making statements like "bogeyman is coming" or "Bigfoot is outside", etc. Whoever has done this should sincerely repent from their actions. How a deaf and mute Qadiani became a Muslim. In order to develop a Madani mindset, to refrain from backbiting, even against children, and to instill the same values into the minds of your children, embrace the Madani environment of Dawat-e-Islami. Travel in the Madani qafilas, regularly partake in the Sunnah-inspiring ijtima, and lead your lives according to the Madani in Amat. Here is an inspiring Madani incident. Listen to it carefully and appreciate the Madani environment of Dawat-e-Islami. In the city of Khushab, Punjab province, Pakistan, an Islamic brother who was deaf and mute had repented from his sins and had begun to tread on the path of righteousness by the blessing of the Madani environment of Dawat-e-Islami. Another deaf and mute person who was a Qadiani used to live close to his house. The Islamic brother would often call the Qadiani towards Islam and would advise him that Islam is the only religion that holds the key to the success in this world and the hereafter, and that the true source of peace of the heart lays in the acceptance of this beautiful religion. The Qadiani man would take interest in his inspirational words, but would never take the step to accept Islam. The Qadiani was going through some rough times and was very distressed about his worldly problems. The Islamic brother invited him to join the 3-day annual Sunnah-inspiring Ijtima, which he gladly accepted. When he reached the site of the Ijtima at Sirai Madina in Madinatul Awliya, Multan, he was truly inspired by the countless people wearing green turbans and the faith enlightening sounds of Salat and Salam. He was so inspired that he abandoned his false religion, repented from Qadianiyat, and embraced Islam. He also pledged bayat, spiritual bond, into the blessed doctrine of Ghaus-e-Azam, Sayyiduna Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, and thus became Qadri and Razavi. Dawlat-e-Dunya se be-raghbat mujhe kar dijiye, meri hajat se mujhe zayid na karna maldar, arsa-e-mahshar mein Aqa laaj rakhna aap hi, daman-e-attar hai sarkar, behad daagdar. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Humiliating a Muslim is a major sin. The most noble Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has stated, "Indeed, humiliating a Muslim without a cause is one of the major sins." Annoying Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Dear Islamic brothers, in reality, a Muslim is the protector of another Muslim's honor. Sadly, in these trying times, things have shifted to the opposite end of the spectrum, and Muslims are seeking opportunities to humiliate other Muslims. Muslims are backbiting, tail-bearing, accusing, and hurting others' feelings without any justification. It is stated on page 19 of booklet titled Zulm Ka Anjam, the publication of Maktabatul Madina, the publishing department of Dawati Islami, the matters of the rights of others are very fragile. Sadly, these are difficult times. Not only are common people infringing upon the rights of the people, but the apparent flag bearers of religion are also oblivious to these matters. The disease of anger is common, and so-called righteous and noble hurt the feelings of other people. They remain oblivious of the fact that hurting the feelings of a Muslim without a permissible cause under Islamic law is a sin and an act that leads one to hell. Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahmatul Rahman has quoted a hadith from At-Tabarani on page 342 of Fatawa Razaviyya, volume 24. The most dignified Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has cautioned, Man aadha musliman faqad aadhani, wa man aadhani faqad aadha Allah, meaning whoever without a cause that is permissible under Islamic law harms a Muslim, he has annoyed me, and the one who annoys me has annoyed Allah Azza wa Jalla. Regarding those that harm Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Allah Azza wa Jalla has stated in the Quran, part 20, Surah Al-Ahzab, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَالْآخِرَةِ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا مُهِينًا. Translation taken from Kanzul Iman. Indeed, those who offend Allah and His Messenger, upon them is Allah's curse in the world and in the hereafter. And Allah has prepared a disgraceful punishment for them. Respect of a believer is greater than that of the Holy Kaaba. The seal of prophethood, the merciful Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, addressed the Kaaba and said, The respect of a mu'min is greater than yours. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Defining a true believer. The beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has stated, Muslimu man salim al-muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. Mu'min, true believer, is he from whose hands and tongue other Muslims are safe. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Fear of losing one's faith. Dear Islamic brothers, an ideal Muslim is the one who does not swear with his tongue, does not pass bad remarks about someone unless justified by Islam. An ideal Muslim does not backbite against anyone, does not label anyone as stupid, does not reveal others' faults, does not harm anyone, and refrains from hurting others' feelings. In addition, a Muslim abstains from physical violence and does not criticize anyone just for the sake of criticism. Whoever does not possess the qualities stated above, but instead hurts others in various ways, physically abuses others, signals with his eyes in a way that hurts others, and everyone is fed up with him, cannot be an ideal Muslim. His faith is weak in his heart, and he is very likely to be overpowered and deceived by Satan near his death. Satan might even sway him away from the true path, so he will be away from paradise and on the path towards hell. Ma'adallah Azza wa Jalla. May Allah Azza wa Jalla grant us refuge from such evil. On the other hand, if a Muslim has firm faith, has true love for Islam in his heart, has qualities and actions of piety, does not have the burden of violating the rights of others, then in that case the deceptions of Satan will not affect him. With the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the strength of his faith will enhance. An angel will drive Satan away and safeguard the Muslim from his deceptions. Thus the Muslim will die with Iman. Satan will be disgusted and will yell and cry at his own failure. Zindagi aur maut ki hai, ya ilahi kashmakash. Jaan chale teri riza par, be kaso majboor ki. It is a struggle between life and death. For this helpless, may Allah be pleased when this soul departs. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, tubu ila Allah, astaghfirullah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Repentance from disbelief. Dear Islamic brothers, in order to rid from the habit of backbiting and to make a habit of offering salah and practicing the sunnah, travel in the Madani qafila with the devotees of the Prophet. Lead your life according to the guidelines of Madani inamat in order to prosper in the world and to be successful in the hereafter. Fill in the booklet and return it, either back cover, to the representative of Dawati Islami on the first day of the new Islamic month. Also take part from beginning till the end in the weekly sunnah inspiring ijtima. For your persuasion, here is a first-hand account of an inspiring Madani incident that has been relayed by an Islamic brother from the area of Latifabad in the city of Hyderabad, Babul Islam, Sindh, Pakistan. Due to the company of a certain group of people, I had many misconceptions due to which I would argue at home against gatherings where food is served with the intent of presenting the sawab, either reward, and celebrating Milad, the blessed birthday of the beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. This went on for about 3 years. Before that, I used to love reciting Salat ala Nabi, salutations and peace upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. But due to the evil effects of the company, I completely lost the passion to recite it. One day while reading, I came across the virtues of reciting Salat ala Nabi, and my passion was revived and I began to recite Salat regularly and extensively. Once I went to sleep while reciting Salat ala Nabi, and by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jalla, I saw the green dome of the Prophet's shrine in my dream, and I involuntarily uttered As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. When I woke up in the morning, I felt a revolution within myself. I began to question as to which path was a righteous and truth path. Fortunately, I was invited to travel with the Madani qafila that was visiting a masjid in our neighborhood. My state of confusion and the quest for the right path led me to travel with the Madani qafila. During the journey, I had wrapped a white imama around my cap, but my companions in the Madani qafila, who had the crown of the green imamas on their heads, neither criticized nor ridiculed me. In fact, the Amir of the Qafila introduced the Madani Inamat to me and advised me to act upon them. After thoroughly reading the Madani Inamat booklet, I was astonished to discover such Madani pearls of training that I had never read anything like before in my entire life. With the blessing of the Madani Inamat and the company of the devotees of the Prophet, I attained the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. I gathered all the companions of the qafila and declared that until yesterday I had many false beliefs. But today I make you my witness that I repent from such false beliefs and intend to embrace the Madani environment of Dawati Islami. The Islamic brothers showed their happiness on my action. The next day I bought some sweets and served it with my own hands as Isale Sawab to Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, Qudsirahul Rabbani. Before travelling in the qafila, I had a respiratory disease for 35 years, because of which every night was agonizing. I also had pain in my right wisdom tooth, which caused problems when chewing. Both the problems were cured by the blessings of the qafila. I bear witness with absolute certainty that the beliefs of Ahle Sunnah wal Jama'at are correct, and I strongly believe that the Madani environment of Dawati Islami is favoured by Allah Azza wa Jalla and His beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Aye gar shaitanat to karein der mat, qafile mein chalein, qafile mein chalo, sohbate bad mein par kar, aqida bigar, gar gaya ho chalein, qafile mein chalo.
If Satan has overpowered you, do not delay. Let's go to the qafila, let's go to the qafila. If bad company has implanted false beliefs, let's all go, let's go to qafila. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Emphasis on staying away from the misguided. Dear Islamic brothers, what magnificent blessings are attained by travelling with the devotees of the Prophet in Dawati Islami's Madani qafila. The fact of the matter is that he has led astray by the company of misguided friends, but due to the grace of reciting Salat al-Nabi extensively, that fortunate person not only travelled in the Madani Qafila but also found guidance and the right path. We should always abstain from the company of the misguided deviants, as well as seek only the company of the devotees of the Prophet, because the company of the misguided is detrimental for one's iman. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has laid great emphasis to refrain from establishing friendships and relationships with the misguided. Hence the Sultan of both worlds, the most noble Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, has stated, whoever greets a deviant with salam or meets him graciously or deals with him in a manner which makes him happy, that person has disrespected that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has revealed upon Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The greatest and holiest Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam parted these guiding words of advice. Whoever respected a person having corrupt beliefs, he has helped in bringing down the religion. My master Allah Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahmatul Rahman has stated on page 184 in Fatawa Razaviya volume 21, it is impermissible for the Sunnis to mingle with people of other religions, especially if the deviant is in a position of authority and the Sunni is subservient. قال الله تعالى, meaning Allah Almighty says, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وَإِمَّا يُنْسِيَنَّكَ الشَّيْطَانُ فَلَا تَقْعُدْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَى مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Translation from Kanzul Iman, and if the devil causes you to forget, then do not sit with the unjust ones after remembering. The beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, stay away from them and they stay away from you, lest they may lead you astray and put you in disarray about your faith. A misguided person as your teacher. My master Ala Hazrat Imam Ahle Sunnat Mawlana Ash-Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahmatul Rahman has strictly emphasized the impermissibility of seeking religious and worldly education from a misguided person. Thus he writes, the company of the people of other religion is fire. Many mature, intelligent and even knowledgeable individuals have been led astray from their faith. Imran bin Hattan's case is well known. During the era of the Tabi'een, he was a master of hadith. He married a Khariji woman, and in her company, Mu'adhallah, he became a Khariji. When he married her, he had claimed that he wanted to convert her to Sunni Islam. Those people who in their false pretense consider themselves well grounded in their Sunni beliefs and brag that no one can affect their faith, their strong foothold, should learn a lesson from the Shaykh's advice. My master Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali further goes on to say, if just company of a deviant caused such disastrous results for such a great master of hadith, then how detrimental would it be to take a deviant as your teacher? The influence of the teacher is often swift and long-lasting. Therefore, Only those people will give their children to a deviant, misguided teacher who do not really care about religion and are unconcerned about their children getting misguided.
محفوظ خدا رکھنا صدا بے ادبوں سے اور مجھ سے بھی سرزد نہ کبھی بے ادبی ہو.
Allah, save me from the blasphemer, and may I never commit an act of blasphemy, ever.
صلو علی الحبیب صل اللہ تعالی علی محمد.
توبو الی اللہ استغفر اللہ.
صلو علی الحبیب صل اللہ تعالی علی محمد.
Horrifying state of the grave. It has been narrated on the authority of the companion Sayyidina Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala anhu that the most beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam visited Baqi, the graveyard of Medina, and stood close to two graves and said, "Did you bury so and so person?" The companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum answered, "Yes, Ya Rasulullah." Then with the ability granted by Allah Azza wa Jalla, revealing the knowledge of the unseen, Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, "Just now, so and so person was made to sit in the grave and was beaten." Then he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam continued, "By the one in whose power my soul is, he was beaten so severely that all his body parts have separated and a fire has been ignited in his grave and he screamed, which all creatures except humans and jinns heard. If you did not have fasad, a barrier, in your hearts and did not talk a lot, you would also hear what I heard." Then he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, "Now the other one is also being punished." Then he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam further continued, "By the one in whose power my soul is, he has been beaten so severely that each of his bones has separated. Fire has been ignited in his grave. He also screamed in such a manner that all the creatures except humans and jinns heard. If you did not have fasad, i.e. a barrier, in your hearts and did not talk a lot, you would also hear what I heard." The companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum asked, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, what were their sins?" The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam replied, "The first one did not protect themselves from urine and the other one would backbite, i.e. eat the flesh of others." Muslims, be fearful. Dear Islamic brothers, the above narration has many pearls of wisdom for those who do not refrain from backbiting and fail to protect themselves from droplets of urine. Even those who did not obtain purity but get themselves and their clothes impure from droplets of urine after urinating should take heed and fear Allah Azza wa Jalla. The greatest and holiest Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has stated, "Guard yourself from urine. Usually the torment of the grave is because of it." Here is another parable that elaborates on this very issue. Calls from grave of a person who did not safeguard himself from urine. On page 187 of Uyunul Hikayat, volume 2, the 413 page publication of Maktabatul Madina, the publishing department of Dawat-e-Islami, it is narrated that Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma said, "Once during a journey, I came across a graveyard that existed from the era of ignorance. Suddenly a dead person rose out of his grave. He was shackled with a chain of fire around his neck. I had a container of water. When he saw me, he said, 'Oh Abdullah, give me a sip of that water to drink.' I thought to myself that since he called me by my name, either he knows who I am or he is referring to me as Abdullah, as it is customary against Arabs for addressing any unknown person. Then suddenly, another man rose from that very grave and said to me, 'O Abdullah, do not give any water to this disobedient person. He is a kafir.' The latter then dragged him back to his grave. I spent the night at the house of an old woman. There was a grave right next to the house. I heard the following statements from the grave. Bowlun wa ma bowl. Shannun wa ma shan. Urine, what is urine? Vessel, what is a vessel? Later I asked the old woman about the voice from the grave. She said, the grave belongs to my husband. He is being punished for two wrongdoings. One, whilst urinating, he would not protect himself from droplets of urine. I would often tell him, shame on you. Even a camel spreads its legs when urinating in order to protect itself from its urine. But you are so careless. My husband would not pay attention to my warnings. Since his death, this voice continues to sound from his grave. I asked the old woman, what about shannum wa ma shan? Vessel, what is a vessel? She replied that once a thirsty man came and asked him for water. He told him, pointing towards an empty water container, go drink water from that container. The thirsty person leaped towards the vessel to quench his thirst, but found it empty. Due to the severity of his thirst, that man fainted and fell to the floor and passed away. Ever since my husband has died, this voice continues to come from the grave every day. Shannum wa ma shan. Vessel, what is a vessel? Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma further goes on to say that I relayed this whole story to the most noble Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, upon which he ordered me not to travel alone. A limb for a sin. Dear Islamic brothers, no matter how minor or small a sin may seem, if Allah Azza wa Jalla brings us to justice, then we will not be able to bear its punishment. Instilling fear into the heart and mind,
Sheikh Sayyiduna Abdul Wahhab Sharani Quds Sirrahu Nurani has quoted the following saying of Sayyiduna Yunus bin Ubaid rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. The hand is cut off as punishment for stealing a minimum of 5 dirhams. 10 dirhams according to the Hanafi school of jurisprudence. There is no doubt that the smallest sin you commit is worse than stealing 5 dirhams. Therefore, for each sin that you commit, a limb will be severed in the hereafter. A terrifying depiction of the hour of death. Dear Islamic brothers, indeed the anxiety of the trials in the grave is very discomforting. Who knows when death will come our way and take us through to the lonely grave. Even the very thought of the tribulations at the time of death is heart-wrenching. On top of that, how will we bear the punishments? If Allah Azza wa Jalla and His beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam are displeased. Here is the description of the hour of death and agonies of the deceased written by my master, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnat, Mawlana Ash-Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman. The soul feeling the fresh taste of death. The shocks of death, the weakest of which is like the pain of 100 strikes of a sword, which is more agonizing than 1,000 strikes of a sword. In fact, the sight of the angel of death alone is more painful than 1,000 strikes of the sword. That will be a new place, utter seclusion, a horrifying sense of helplessness. Then the startling arrival of the Nakirain, i.e. the two angels, Munkar and Nakir, the exhibition of those hideous and fearsome faces which would leave one aghast. Even if seen in the presence of thousands of people, black-faced, boulder-sized, big blue eyes, glistening like shiny metal, breath like raging flames, long, sharp, pointed teeth like the long horns of cattle, long, entangled hair dragging on the floor. The gigantic appearance of the angels is yet another torment. Their shoulders miles apart, the sledgehammer in their hands so heavy
that if one community of humans and jinns gathered to lift it, they would be unable to do so. The thundering voices announcing their arrival into the grave by ripping the ground with their teeth, as if all these ordeals were not enough, as soon as they come, they will sit the dweller up and will grant no time, and in a stern voice and rebuking tone, take the test, etc. وَحَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ إِرْحَمْ ضُعْفَنَا يَا كَرِيمُ يَا جَمِيلُ صَلِّ وَسَلِّمْ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الرَّحْمَةِ وَآلِهِ الْكِرَامِ وَسَائِرِ الْأُمَّةِ آمِينَ آمِينَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ Allah Azza wa Jalla is sufficient for us, and what an excellent and reliable trustee of affairs. Compassionate, have mercy on our feebleness, the Excellent One. Send your peace and blessings upon the merciful Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, his honorable descendants, and upon the rest of his ummah, nation. The most merciful, accept this dua, please accept.
Khare hain munkar nakir sar par, na koi hami na koi yaver, bata do aakar mere payammar, ke sakht mushkil jawab mein hai.
I am helpless, yet Munkar and Nakir are breathing down my neck. You are my helper and defender, O Prophet, as I am in great trial and test.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, tubu ila Allah, astaghfirullah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Mental stress and confusion relieved. In order to get rid of the habit of backbiting and listening to it, and to develop a habit of offering salah and practicing the sunnah, always keep yourself attached to the righteous Madani environment of Dawat-e-Islami. Travel in the Madani Qafila with the devotees of the Prophet to learn the sunnah, to prosper in this life and to be successful in the hereafter. Transform your deeds in accordance with principles laid out in the Madani Inamat. Fill in the booklet and return it to the representative of Dawat-e-Islami on the first day of each Islamic month. Attend the sunnah inspiring ijtima, and there gain the opportunity to listen to the sermon attentively. Here is an inspiring Madani incident for your inspiration, which is a summary of a letter written under oath by an Islamic brother from Babul Madina. I was a student at Dawood Engineering College, and was very confused because of the company of misguided and deviant friends. I was unable to ascertain as to which the right path was. 2 years passed by in this bewilderment. Then one day I met a brother whose demeanor and character really inspired me. This devotee of the Prophet had the crown of the green imama on his head, and was wearing white clothing, and had an enlightened face due to his devotional worship. Trying to call me towards righteousness, he personally invited me to the 3-day annual congregation to be held in Madinatul Awliya, Multan, Pakistan. I was so impressed by him that I could not refuse, and ended up travelling in the Ijtima. Witnessing the largest congregation of Muslims after Hajj, the sheer number of people there really opened my eyes, and my heart testified that this is indeed the true path leading to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Last day, I was affected after listening to the inspiring speech on the topic of Allah's hidden decree. Then the dua after the sermon truly penetrated my heart, and it changed my life. I was like an animal before, but Dawat-e-Islami's Madani environment made me a human. I now have a passion and eagerness to commit righteous deeds, and have grown a fist-length beard and intend to memorize the whole Quran. Another important thing is that before attending the annual congregation at Sirai Madina in Madinatul Awliya, Multan, both of my parents' arms were paralyzed, and they could not move their arms at all. By the blessing of dua asked during the ijtima, their paralyzed arms were cured.
Tera shukar maula diya madani mahol,
نہ چھوٹے کبھی بھی خدا مدنی ماحول، خدا کے کرم سے خدا کی عطا سے نہ دشمن سکے گا چھرا مدنی ماحول. I am grateful, O Allah, that I am associated with this Madni Mahol. O Allah, may I never ever leave this glorious Madni Mahol. With the mercy of Allah and the grant of Allah, the enemy will not be able to lead me astray from this Madni Mahol. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Attend the ijtima with the intent to gain rewards. Dear Islamic brothers, did you realize how the madni attire and the individual efforts to call others to righteousness were effective in aiding the seeker in finding the true path? Furthermore, did you also notice that in the madni parable, at times worldly problems like unemployment or sickness can be resolved by the blessings of attending Dawat-e-Islami's sunnah-inspiring ijtima? However, in addition to seeking resolutions for worldly problems, before attending the ijtima, one should also make intentions to seek knowledge and to reap good deeds for the hereafter. Two causes of punishment in the grave. The companion Sayyiduna Abi Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu has stated, I was walking along with the merciful and compassionate Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. He sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam was holding my hand and another man was on the left of him. We came across two graves upon which the beloved of Allah, the light of prophethood, Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam informed us, both of them in the graves are being tormented and they are not being tormented due to something major. Which one of you would bring me a branch? We both tried to precede each other and I beat him in bringing back a branch. Then the Prophet of Rahmah, the intercessor of Ummah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, broke it along the length in two halves, planted one on each grave and declared, the torment of both will be reduced till these branches dry out, and they are being punished because of backbiting and urine. Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam possesses the knowledge of the unseen. Dear Islamic brothers, did you see that the two causes of the torment of the grave are committing, backbiting and not protecting oneself from the droplets of urine? Alas, our weak bodies cannot even bear a minor scratch, a prick of a thorn, the heat of the sun or a mild fever. Allah Azza wa Jalla, we seek your forgiveness from the impurity of the droplets of urine on our clothes or body, and we repent from backbiting, tale-telling and all major and minor sins. O Allah Azza wa Jalla, be eternally pleased with us and grant us forgiveness without any accountability. From the aforementioned account, we also came to learn that the beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam possesses ilmi ghaib, knowledge of the unseen, granted to him by Allah Azza wa Jalla, which is why he saw the punishments in the grave as stated in the hadith. My master Ala Hazrat Imam Ahle Sunnat, the reviver of religion, Mawlana Ash-Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahmatul Rahman, has expressed this in Hadaik-e-Bakhshish. Sare arsh par hai teri guzar, dil-e farsh par hai teri nazar, ملکوت و ملک میں کوئی شے نہیں وہ تجھ پہ ایان نہیں. Heights of the arsh is your walkway. Bottom of the earth is in your vision. Nothing in the universe is such that is concealed from your sight. Being punished in the grave, the knower of the unseen, the noble Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam approached a grave in which the dweller was being punished. The holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam stated, he is being punished because he would eat the flesh of other people, i.e. backbite. He then called for a fresh twig, planted the twig on the grave and said, I am hopeful that until this twig remains fresh, his punishment will be lessened. It is mustahab to put flowers on the grave. Dear Islamic brothers, both the aforementioned narrations mention indulging in backbiting and not protecting oneself from the droplets of urine as the causes of punishment in the grave. Every Muslim should lead their lives carefully. Regarding the planting of the twig on the grave, as mentioned in both the narrations, the renowned commentator of the Quran, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi, has stated in his famous book, Ja' al-Haq, Volume 1, page 240 and 241. It is narrated that the punishment will be lessened until the plants' branches stay fresh, because they will do tasbih, I glorify Allah Azza wa Jalla. Imam Nawawi Ali Rahmatullahi al-Qawi has stated, based on this narration, the scholars contend that recitation of Quran near the grave is a mustahab, i.e. rewardable act, because reciting the Quran is more virtuous than doing tasbih. It is stated in Tahtawi ala Marakil Fala on page 364, based on this hadith, some of our contemporaries have declared in their fatwa, I verdict, that it is a sunnah to place perfume and flowers on the grave, as it is customary amongst Muslims. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi has further added, from the explanations of the scholars of hadith and the rulings of the fuqaha, scholars of jurisprudence, we learn two things. Firstly, that it is permissible to place any fresh green part of a plant on any Muslim's grave, since the compassionate Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam himself placed the fresh green branches on the graves of those who were undergoing punishment. Secondly, that the tasbih of these branches caused the reduction of the punishment. Therefore, if we place fresh plants and flowers on the grave, inshaAllah Azza wa Jalla, it will benefit the deceased in their graves. Actually, the wisdom in leaving the top of the grave unbricked is so that green grass grows on it with rain water, and its tasbih relieves the punishment.
Hai kaun ke jo giriya kare Fatiha ko aaye, barsaye kaun qabr pe bekas ki baharan phool.
Who will recite Quran and pray for grace for the powerless? Who will spray flowers on the grave of this helpless?
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala muhammad.